live on the air, Discovery Paranormal. Wow, we've made it to December 6th. You know, what is going on out there in the world of UFOs, man? I want to talk about it tonight because I got into an interesting topic about the KGB. Of course, KGB was Russia's internal security, like, how can I describe them? Like the federal police, which, if you can imagine that. Homeland Security, but with more teeth, right? But now there is no more KGB because the Soviet Union was dissolved, and now it's the FSB, and that's their main fray of information gathering from the public at large. And even though it's not a communist government anymore, they still have those communistic elements, of course, as residual effects. You know, and I've met a lot of Russians, and your average Russian is pretty damn cool. You know, the kind of person that you can hang out with. You know, so I think that they're realistic. And I think that in the world of civilizations on this planet, you're going to find a lot of Russians that will, you know, they want what we want. They want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for themselves. They want that for their families. And they know that this transition that Russia has made from communism into whatever it is now, sort of a capitalistic socialism type of thing, you know, where the Russian mafia pretty much controls everything. You know, it really is a hard position to be in, to be their leader, you know, and Vladimir Putin basically is the guy calling the shots. And I think that he's tough enough to be, you know, to withstand the storm. Anyway, I like the stories coming out from old KGB people. And the media there and the everything about Russia is different when it comes to, I mean, yeah, for a long time they control their media. They still control the media in a lot of ways. But what I like are these old guys from the KGB who were commanders back in the day who have a story to tell. So the headline is the KGB had a classified information exchange program, an alien civilization, Russian officials reveal. Now, several of these officials have come forward to our American media. And, of course, the media doesn't acknowledge any of this stuff. They don't want to say, you know, I can see on CNN, so some Russian, former Russian commander talking about aliens and how they've been dealing with aliens, you know. It's to the point where it's been ridiculed enough where it sounds crazy for people to talk aliens. But yet, if you are in the group of people who know, you're going to understand that all of this stuff is real. And these people have come forward, whether they were American, whether they're Russian, whether they're French, you know, military people, pilots, astronauts, the people that have come forward over the years saying, hey, yeah, there's a secret alien base on the dark side of the moon. Yeah, I saw it, you know. And, oh, yeah. I mean, maybe all of them, 100% of them, aren't for real. But if you listen to them talk and you listen to the stories, you know, you can tell when someone's bull crapping you and when someone's being for real. As a private investigator, I have an ear for that because it's a business that I'm in, you know, and it's second nature to me anyway, and I have a really fine-tuned bullcrap detector built into my brain. So if I'm hearing some information, if there's any red flags at all in someone's story, or if I'm looking at them in their eyes, in their face, their movements, whatever, or in my gut feeling too, what I receive in my gut feeling and in my mind's eye, you know, I'll know, you know, within a shadow of a doubt most of the time if they're for real or not. And if I have any kind of like any kind of feeling that they're not telling the truth, but not being 100% truthful, that too is going to be registered in my head, you know. But it comes down to this. I believe this story because, one, there was no reason for this guy to come forward. And like most of these cases, these guys aren't making money. Some of them write books, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, sure, because people want to know about it. But, you know, these guys aren't making money. They're not out there trying to stir the pot and scare people, saying there's alien civilizations that are coming to get us and all this nonsense. And then you've had leaders, you know, Ronald Reagan even said in a press conference, Reagan was, you know, on the way down mentally at that point. He made those statements, and all of a sudden he had Alzheimer's. It was revealed, you know, a short time later he had Alzheimer's or whatever. And yeah, I get that too. But I think that there's a bigger entity out there that, of course, goes beyond a president, goes beyond some member of Congress, goes beyond, you know, all these people. All right, let's flip the table. Let's say that you are an alien and you visited the Earth many times. As a matter of fact, alien probably you is old hat. You know what I mean? You want something new. So you want to approach a civilization. And yeah, anal probing is a joke in the UFO community. You know what I mean? As people talk about it, joke about it, it is kind of funny. And I don't know how many asses you need to probe to really understand what an ass is. But I don't know. It's an interesting story for sure. So if I'm an alien civilization and I had a need to reach out to humans, there's a lot of ways I could do it, but those ways are going to be mainly through the military, mainly through you know, presidential channels at that time. Then think about it, back in the day, 1930s, 1940s, when people started really talking about aliens. This is when our technology advanced. Did our technology advance because of these aliens? Or did our technology advance and then the aliens showed up because they saw, you know, people advancing and people advancing in a dangerous way? Let's face it, we have the atomic bomb, which is unbelievably strong. It can wipe out millions of people at one shot. Obviously, it's an intense weapon. And there's more weapons that are more intense than that we're working on, you know. So really, it comes down to, if you're monitoring the civilization, you kind of want to guide people in a way that is not going to interfere with their lives and their development overall, but guide them in a way where it's not self-destruction. Because the whole story with Hitler is gangster. The whole story about the atomic bomb, because the Nazis would have had it first, no doubt. It was their scientists, their information. They were the ones working on it. They were the ones who got the heavy water. It was the Nazis who were doing all of this. We stole this from them. We got those scientists out of Nazi Germany. And it was the whole, how we did it is really like somebody literally cleared the path for it to happen, you know? If Hitler had gotten the atomic bomb first, it would have been a very different world. Very different world. You know? So, here we are years later, 2016. We have a KGB general coming out, you know, giving all this detailed information. So, let me read from this. The Soviet era had the Ministry of Defense work on really new projects that would give soldiers superhuman abilities, right? During these trials, a team of researchers encountered a signal coming from intelligent life forms from outside of the Earth. The story became known after the man in charge of this top-secret program revealed numerous details to the Russian media. Backing up his claims, Alexei Savin, member of the Natural Sciences Academy and current Lieutenant General in Reserve, has stepped forward and sharing his knowledge regarding a group of Russian scientists from the late 80s who could constantly get in touch with representatives of an intelligent species of extraterrestrials. And you know what I like about this? This is very matter of fact. This guy has no reason to come forward and say any of this stuff. No reason. You know, but I think that he felt compelled to for a lot of different reasons in his mind that he wanted to share this with people, because people should know. Don't you think you should know? Should you know if we are just one species of many species throughout the universe, that there are so many advanced levels of you know, humanoids out there, whatever you want to call them, maybe so advanced they can barely even communicate with us? Because, let's face it, you know, humans can barely communicate with each other on this planet. When you look at the Earth, the people as people, it gets very simple. And people are in a very early stage on this planet. We still have humans walking around with loincloths, hunting with spears. So just because you have toilet paper doesn't mean that you're developed, right? Because it comes, you know, if you think of developed, you got to think of progression and what people are going to progress into, what people seek for, what kind of life to have, and that energy that they put out there and the mark that they leave on the place that they're in, right, for future civilizations. And if you look at the world right now, it's in turmoil. We're at war, where people are hated and divided, and the people are suffering from diseases that don't need to be, and all this going on. And unless we pull together as humanity, it's all going to keep going on. Maybe even, you know, get self-destructive, which I think that we're on that path. So let me get back to this. All right. However, the first man to take action by revealing these shocking facts to the press was Vasily Yeremenko, a now-retired major general who claims to have used special military technology to retrieve alien intelligence from UFO encounters. He admits that information originating from these otherworldly sources were abundant at the point in time, and it helped the Russians shape the future of their country. In fact, his goals were to suppress any conflicts that would arise between Russia and other alien civilizations. So that right there is, here's a general, you know, a major general, who is in charge of safeguarding a relationship between Russia and said alien technology, aliens giving that technology, right? And look at the development. If you go back, you know, I mean, think about it. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, what was available? What kind of technology was available? Communication technology or whatever, you know? And then there it is in the 1940s and 50s, not that long after, this incredible technology comes forward. 60s, 1970s, 80s, you know? Solid state electronics and things like that. Now, look at us, digital, you know? Think about 10 years ago with computers, 15 years ago, where your home computer, having 15 gigabytes was a pretty big deal in your home computer. Now, I have 64 gigabytes in the SD card the size of my fingernail. That's insane, you know? I mean, I have hard drive terabytes on there. So the technology is advancing. And there's other technology coming into play. At some point, they had to be able to stumble upon that technology and advance it in a direction that was worthy to advance in, you know? Because it's easy to say, okay, let's create this electricity, and then you can find the means to create it. But then after you find that means, a lot of people don't think of other ways to create it, you know, other avenues with other technologies, maybe things that you didn't focus on because you focused on something that was obvious instead of something that wasn't obvious. And then given the history of the Earth with all the stories, you get stories of Atlantis. No, come on, man. There are so many stories about Atlantis and the civilization that existed. And even scientists agree that there was some kind of plate that shifted and whatever. It went under another plate. Okay, fine, whatever. We can go by today on, it doesn't really matter how people got around at that point, how they migrated. I just read this fascinating article about how they believe now that people from Egypt were the ones who populated China, that they migrated from Egypt to China and started civilization there. So it's all very interesting. And if you look at the Egyptian society, come on, man. You know, if you look at the Mayans and other civilizations like that, they all have a story to tell that's unbelievably interesting. And there's things that are very obvious that we can look at. Hey, look at that drawing up on the wall of a spaceship coming down with people with big tools. And the science, all of a sudden scientists come in like some kind of Facebook sniper. I call them Facebook snipers. It'll be like a friend on your Facebook list that you never hear from unless you put something up there that they don't like politically. Then they come out of nowhere, and they're like, ha-ha. They just jab a knife in your heart to do it. And I'm thinking, nobody asked you your goddamn opinion. I didn't ask you your opinion. I didn't say, hey, what do you think about this? I'm just putting something up to put it up. I'm not going to argue about it. I hate that stuff. Arguing for what? So it's kind of like that. Then all of a sudden science comes out like, aha, well, check this out. It was like this airplane that got shot down off the coast of Long Island, you know, by a missile. Everybody saw the missile. There was over a couple hundred people at the beach who were watching it when it happened. They saw the missile go from the water to the plane. They saw the plane get taken out, crash. It was a missile. The guy from the FAA, the air traffic controller, said it was a missile. He was a colonel in the Air Force, Vietnam era and after, and he knows what a missile looks like, a fast blip on the screen. It was a missile. So what did the government say? It was an issue with a gas tank, and it exploded because it was leaking. It wasn't a missile. And people are like, it's bullcrap. People saw it. There's witnesses. They saw the missile. They heard it the whole bit. It was right there, right in front of their faces, right? So then the CIA comes out from nowhere. The CIA. And at that point, before the Patriot Act, the CIA wasn't even allowed to operate, you know, what their clandestine operations within our borders. They weren't allowed to spy on Americans or do any of that or even get involved. It was an external security intelligence gathering business, you know, of foreign service, of going out there. And yeah, you know, you got to be able to follow trails back to come back into the United States and whatever. But to come out and make a video about an airplane crashing was bizarre. But they did. And then they're like, well, here's this video. This is kind of how it happened. The gas tank exploded. So, yeah, when the CIA jumps out with a video, I mean, let's put it in Russian terms. If the KGB came out with a video saying that, yeah, the passenger airplane exploded by itself because the gas tank was leaking, you know, nobody knew about it. No, the pilot. And I'll tell you this, man, on a plane that size, especially commercial jetliners, there are so many safety devices that will go off if something is leaking, if something's going on, if your pressure's dropping or whatever, man, especially before a flight. Then, you know, it's jet fuel. You can smell it, too. So, yeah, okay. The CIA comes out with a movie. Who asked them? I didn't ask them. Did you ask them? Yeah, did you call the CIA? Hey, why don't you guys make a movie about this plane blowing up? So, yeah, the government lies to deceive people because, in their mind, it's in the name of national security. So let's get back to this. In 1984, the KGB was involved in an ample study documenting unexplained phenomenon near the area of Vladimirovsk, which is a place where these guys have looked off a ton of nuclear devices. So this place wasn't randomly picked because most UFO encounters were known to be drawn by dangerous spots where weapons of mass destruction were deployed. So that's interesting. And this isn't the first time this has happened. You know, there's a lot of things recently, even the SpaceX rocket that just blew up, you know, a couple of months ago, carrying a Facebook satellite, you know, it blew up, and it was really weird. When you looked at the video that they slowed down, it looked like something flew by, just like real boom, there it is, and then all thing explodes. It looked like something flew by, and the thing exploded. And then, in the explosion, it was something like up in the air. They caught this silver disc kind of hanging out. Now, even look at the earthquakes that happened in New Zealand and around the way. They saw strange lights in the sky, and it wasn't like lightning or anything like that. They saw a ball of light. So scientists come out with an explanation, even though nobody asked them. And they're like, oh, these are balls of light that come out from pressure in the earth. We think, we've never seen it, but we think, really? Nobody asked you. And here you are saying, we think, but we don't know. Well, I can make up stuff, too. I can make up all kinds of stuff. Hey, you know, I saw Santa Claus flying around up there. It was Santa Claus, I think. It's close to Christmas. I think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the evidence is. Then you can assemble evidence and put together your critical thinking. That's beautiful. But to sit there, to first of all, come out when nobody asked you, that's a red flag. That's somebody trying to cover something up, man. Right? All right. So the general, he states, because of this, the fact that when these guys gather weapons of mass destruction, that's when these UFOs show up. I guess to get nervous. So because of this, the KGB didn't have to pursue UFOs anymore. They have instead learned to summon them on the grounds. We can say that we learned to summon UFOs, Savin said to the news report. To do this, we dramatically increased the number of military flights and movement of the equipment. If the intensity on our side increased, the UFOs appeared with a probability of 100%. So they know by moving this equipment around, missiles, all this stuff, it makes the, all of a sudden they have this contact. It's there. I watched this video of a guy in Florida who says that he can summon UFOs by thinking about it, that he is tuned in. And then this other kid was making this movie. And I know you can't believe most of this stuff on YouTube, you know. There's some of it, man, that these people are being honest and they're just putting it out there. And let us not forget that most of us have a camera in our hand, in our pocket these days. You know, I mean, with phones and the whole bit, it's not like, you know, you're trying to hunt down your video camera and put out to capture something. It's much different days, and also instant, in the moment, right? Because people see these things and they put it right out there. So this guy's hanging out with this older guy, and then he's like, well, go ahead, summons the UFO. They look up in the sky, there's nothing up there. He, you know, like, closes his eyes and, like, puts his head down a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he looks up, he said, they're up there. Look up, and then there's this thing up there, this shiny-looking thing. And it was kind of just hovering. And the guy's like, oh, my God, look at this. And they sat there for, like, 40 minutes or whatever it was, looking at this thing. It wasn't balloons. It wasn't an airplane. So is that guy in tune? You know, out of the billions of people on the planet, if it comes down to wavelength and brain function and your third eye being able to communicate telepathically, and we know that light speed communication is pretty quick in this realm, especially anyway, but Is it impossible, if there are truly aliens, and I believe there are, is it impossible to contact them? Maybe by using voice, like what I'm doing now, it may sound like a monkey chattering to them. But in your mind's eye, if you're pushing that information, and there's a reason for them to contact you too, because maybe they are us, maybe they are them, maybe they're from here. You know, people say that these aliens live down in the ocean and up on the moon, and that's the technology, that we came from Mars and all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of that. Is that just humans making stuff up, trying to rationalize? Or are these people talking about real knowledge and real things that are happening? Anyway, so in Russia, the trials were subdued after about a year of constant UFO summoning, right? The Russians concluded that science, at least back then, was unable to make a difference between a UFO and a conventional aircraft. At the best, and because of the constant threat of unfinished war, the otherworldly craft would be confused with the new technology tested by either the U.S. or Japan. Yaremenko discovered this on his own. The UFO top day is ubiquitous, he said in a press release after his retirement. Precisely because of its scandalous nature, serious scientists are not willing to identify their position on this issue. Pilots often see such objects, but they have a veto on this topic. So do astronauts. In confidential conversations, they talk about experiences meeting with UFOs, but they are afraid to speak publicly about this. In his acceptance, the UFO topic shouldn't be taken lightly because it represents a matter of global security. Ah, global security. So now we're not just talking about, you know, yeah, of course, if you're the president, you don't want aliens landing in East Texas probing people. That's a matter of national security. You're being invaded. You ever watch those movies like Independence Day, Will Smith, and whoever there, Jeff Goldblum? Okay, here you have a movie where this mothership shows up with a whole bunch of other tactical ships, whatever you want to call them, and they park off of every major city around the world. And these people are like, I wonder what they are, why they're here. Wow, look at them, you know. So you don't think that's a global invasion? You don't think that's an invasion fleet that, you know, you're just going to show up on someone's doorstep and sit there and not say anything? See, that doesn't make any sense, the whole damn thing, the whole movie. But it's a movie, right? It's a movie about kicking some alien ass. And it's funny that you have these. You know, in Star Trek, Captain Kirk went out there and had sex with aliens. He went out boinking his way through space, making better relations. He'd have sex with them, and they'd be happy about it, and then they would have a good relationship after that. And a lot of men on Earth can't figure that out alone out there in outer space, dealing with other female species. All right. In Russia, the trials were subdued. So the general, he further revealed a classified technique used by the KGB to control the human brain by triggering superhuman abilities through it. Proof of the existence of this is the projects that DARPA puts forth that we know about, which is our agency for advanced weaponry and research and that type of thing. So it's a plan to create future soldiers using futuristic chips implanted inside the brain. In the process of research, we came to the conclusion that a human was an energy and information system that receives information from outside. That's right. You are a computer, and not a very good one. You're slow. You don't load right. You know what I mean? It takes you too long to start up. You're corrupt. files are corrupt. This is precisely why a human can manifest paranormal abilities, Seven revealed. So a lot of people in the paranormal community believe that there's a connection with all of this. Aliens, ghosts, all of it connected, all of it interconnected, woven together like a fabric, right? But if you can, and I know lots of mediums, I'm having Robbie Thomas on the show next week. He just went down to Virginia and solved a murder. Robbie Thomas, an unbelievable medium, amazing medium, you know, on next week's show. It comes down to ability, and it comes down to a level of understanding. You know, do you really think that people can't develop? If you can go out and work out and develop your muscles, you can develop anything in your brain. I mean, your way of thinking. And I'm into the techniques like that, NLP, which is neurological linguistic programming. You know, just something, it's just a system to program your brain and understand yourself better, your thinking patterns, you know, that type of thing. So, besides the military personnel and scientific crew, a team of women were assembled to carry out some of the crucial tasks. Furthermore, Seven explained how they had achieved a way to communicate with extraterrestrial civilizations using the functions of the human brain that acted as a radio beacon through space, thus allowing Russians to receive extraterrestrial messages. We wanted to make a contact with representatives of other civilizations, and we did it. We had to tune energy contour of the human brain to a particular wave like a radio. So think about now as we do these studies. And this guy just came out with this information. This is all happening now. So think about as we, you know, study the human brain. And are like right now they're doing studies between the human brain and cell signals. As if you had to, you know, obviously cell signals from cell phones are radioactive. And obviously you have a 44% increase in cancer in the last 15 years, which has been pretty heavy cell phone usage. So I think that if science isn't willing to say, wow, there's a relation between the two. And then when cell phones first came out, the FDA wanted radiation stickers on it until lobbyists went in there and spent enough money for the communication companies not to get radiation stickers put on your phone because they are devices that emit radiation. And when your battery is low, it emits the most radiation. So just to let you know, you people who are like, wow, my battery is low on my phone. And that's when it's really spiking. And if you don't believe me, get yourself a cell sensor. Get yourself a cell sensor and put it by the phone and see that thing light up with radiation. And that radiation is going through your brain. Or if it's in your pocket, it's going through your groin. If it's in your upper pocket, it's going through your boob. Okay? Just know how dangerous cell phones are that you should never put them to your head. At least do that. Use a headset and not a wireless headset either, like a wired headset. All right. Anyway, yeah, we study brains and we study brain waves. We study all of that. And obviously, if you can control certain bodily functions, you can control your brain waves. But it takes a lot of meditation. Is exactly what it is. It's meditation. If you know anything about martial arts, like for real, I'm into martial arts. I have been all my life. It is a philosophy that lies behind all of that. And that philosophy, it's about moving energy. It's about that type of meditation. It's about a bigger universe and understanding how it works and understanding how to move that energy around and use it to your advantage. Okay? So, yeah, I think that the guy in Florida could manifest that brain wave and communicate with some alien who happened to want to show up. Maybe that they're being called, and I don't know. You got me. In fact, I'm not even going to bother guessing. All I know is that the guy did it, and the thing showed up, and it wasn't a bunch of balloons. it wasn't like just these guys messing around. It looked pretty damn real. It wasn't CG or any of that. And the guy had a few different shows with people doing the same thing. Okay? So in this research they did of using brainwaves, no chemicals or drugs were used on the subject during the testing. And the scientists also came up with a way to tell if individuals were making progress or just hallucinating. So they're able to dice it apart and say if you're making it up or if you think it's happening, you're hallucinating, you think it's happening, or if it's real. So what happened next was astounding. Six individuals were privileged to actually touch extraterrestrial beings, and one member of the team was even granted access to one of their spaceships. That's amazing. That's amazing this guy's even talking about it. The aliens did give away some information about the structure of their society, but left out important parts like any military details. They supposedly left knowledge of medical procedures that could cure most diseases. Saban told journalists that the human race is so precariously evolved that the aliens would easily compare us to infants. Infants. According to him, our civilization is too young to be of interest to them as a subject for a dialogue. So these aliens, it's like you're a baby. You're sitting there in your diapers, which makes sense if you look at the world and what people are complaining about, you know, and how divided people are for their reasoning. It's actually infantile. But if you're an alien civilization, as an advanced civilization, why would you want to? Well, you can't give our civilization any information like weapons and stuff like that, because we would just use them to kill people. We would use them to destroy other civilizations, is what we do, is what we're doing, right? So, and that's the cosmic equation. That's part of the cosmic equation, that any alien life form that's advanced would have a hard time, if not impossible time, trying to communicate with us, and also wouldn't have a reason to. No reason to. Can you think of a reason to? They want to come down for the pastrami? Really? They come here and steal a cow, travel 100 million light years to steal a cow? It's pretty lame. And that wasn't aliens. That was the military. People don't even know that. They killed those cows and dissected parts of their brain, like they took out their thyroid and stuff like that, because they wanted to see if the radiation, where they were letting off all those bombs out in the desert, they wanted to see what direction the radiation went and what kind of like harm it did to those animals thereabout. So it wasn't like UFOs. It was the military. So yeah, there's that. You actually think that a UFO will come here and take a cow? Well, the hell would they want to? You want some hamburger? You just got to go to the store. Yeah, I mean, want some milk? Is that what you came here for? You land in my backyard. I come out. Be like, wow, alien civilization. You must have lots of stories to tell. I have so many questions. They're like, milk. Need milk. I'm like, milk? Got milk? Did you say that to me? Did you say that? Got milk? How dare you? So, all right, so, yeah, we're infantile. You know, we're children out there in the world. They're not going to give us any weapons because we can't be responsible with the ones that we have. Not on any level. Not on any level. People can't be responsible for the weapons they have. You know what I mean? But we're a part of this universe, aren't we? And then I think they're probably maybe worried about that we'd harm ourselves or other civilizations because we're so messed up, you know? Because we got nuclear missiles all around. Got crazy people hooked on religion. and they're using that religion to kill people. And these aliens are like looking at this, they laughing their alien asses off at this election here in the States. All right. So in 1993, politics came in the way. The whole project was abandoned and the team disbanded. But the brain manipulation method remained in use at the Gagarin Academy, where a core of team of scientists continued to develop and improve the scheme. And it's no secret anymore that these techniques, kept secret by the Russian military, are used by the Americans as well. Yeah, because we're creating cyborgs, cyborg soldiers. But short of that, we also have robots that are in the field now, you know, heavily armed robots. We got one called the Eater, the Eater. The thing eats dead bodies of soldiers that are killed as fuel, uses it as fuel. So it eats, it could eat wood, it could eat whatever, all kinds of materials. And then the company that made it, that's their thing. Well, it's not supposed to eat bodies, but it does. You know? We'd be supposed to. Did you tell that to the Eater? Don't eat these bodies. So other countries object because they want to be able to bury their soldiers and they don't want some robot. You know, tell that to your grandkids later on. Grandfather, what happened to your brother? Well, he got killed in war by a robot. They ate him. They pooped him out as carbon. Do you really? Is that what we're becoming? So they're putting chips into soldiers. They're monitoring their bodies. And then you don't think that these chips can do stuff. And then you have nanobot technology. And I've been addicted to nanobot technology since I first learned about nanobot technology. I am in Ithaca, New York, where Cornell University is, who is leading in nanobot technology. I remember when they invented the nanobot engine back in the late 90s. You know, it was amazing, and think about from then till now, what the essence of nanobots can be. But you're talking about robots that operate on a molecular level that can either assemble or reassemble or do all kinds of things. So theoretically, let's say you lost your arm, these nanobots could create you a new arm with stem cells. They could just build you a new arm, you know? So it's like that. And the technology is endless. When you get into nanotechnology, it is endless. We are now into quantum computing. That is endless. So we have gone into another world of technology, a bigger world, a deeper world, something that I think people could easily manipulate to hurt others. But it's baby steps anyway, and I think that it has to be, you know. So Savin said, 4 years ago, we tried to repeat the experiment, and we were successful. 4 years ago, right? Brains and talented people are still present in the defense industry. Why hide something from people? Instead, they need to prepare for new challenges. So if the aliens come in peace and only want to monitor us for our own good, why is Savin considering that we'd be taking this matter seriously? It's a security issue, global threat. It doesn't sound like they're on the level that a lot of people would think, like E.T., the extraterrestrial, had in your shed. What kind of advanced stuff is that? Dude, you're hiding in my shed, and I have a rule. No trespassing, you know, phone home. Listen, sucker, I ain't got that kind of AT&T, man. It really is more like the movies of these monsters who are trying to destroy everything. Because look on this planet. Look what we do to chickens. You know what I mean? you don't think that there is other life out there? If you're talking about multi-dimensional energy and you're talking about, you know, a limitless amount of species, yeah, theoretically, we could be somebody's chicken. And you'd never even know it, you know? The anal probing thing is scary enough. Listening to those people tell those stories is scary enough. You know, it's never a nice story. You never hear them say, hey, it was a great experience. This guy came down. He was from another planet. He was really cool. We cruised around. He took a ship. We went all over the world. We checked things out. Believe it or not, that was the story of Muhammad and the whole in Islam, is that it was supposed to be the Archangel Gabriel who showed up, took him in his ship, you know, and showed him the universe. It took him around the earth first. And then through the universe, if you know your Quran, and I do. So there are stories all throughout religious text. There are stories all throughout history. There are representations throughout art, throughout history, that show this connection with alien technology. And if you look at the Mayans and, you know, you get into Aztec technology and where their heads were at, it's amazing. Ancient Chinese, you know, Egyptian, it's like they all had a connection with the stars, all of them. And that's just not because they were sitting around looking up. And also, we have the rhesus negative, which I've talked about on the show numerous times. Rhesus negative that didn't show up on this planet until 35,000 years ago. So you have your scientists out there that believe in aliens. You got your scientists out there that don't believe in aliens. You know, you have scientists out there that will sit on any other fence that there is. And depending on their level of understanding, training, and their ability to think outside the box, okay? All scientists, all of them agree that rhesus negative came from somewhere else. And somewhere else meaning not this planet. So now, in 2016, you have a consensus from the scientific community all around the world that rhesus negative was not some kind of morphing thing that happened in someone's blood, so some kind of a gene malfunction, right? Some kind of crude metamorphosis. No, rhesus negative came from somewhere else. And at that point, if you look at civilization, I mean, people say, well, mankind's been around for millions of years. I'm not seeing the evidence of that. I'm seeing mankind being around maybe 35,000 years. I'm not seeing any evidence of mankind. I mean, we got evidence of dinosaurs. We have all that stuff. And I'm not a huge fan of radiocarbon testing either. You know, I don't think it's an exact science, because I think that the very ruler that they're using is not a consistent ruler. I think that it, you know, this planet ages quickly sometimes, slowly other times, and, you know, it really comes down to monitoring and understanding that first. Also, I don't think that time itself, and all time, and the speed of light is as consistent as other people might think it is. In fact, I think that it flexes a lot, you know. But interesting that rhesus negative showed up 35,000 years ago, and rhesus, of course, is a monkey, you know, and that's when they believe that these new humanoids formed, and you could find people with that type of negative blood, and I'm one of them, you know, because I have negative blood, and those people, these people, this person is, you know, it's interesting how they have a description that, you know, they're real tall, and they got blue eyes and stuff like that. It's just really interesting to see this and to know other people like that. You know, interesting stuff. So I think as far as the story is concerned, I believe it 100%. You know, there's no reason for these generals to come out, these people to come out and talk about this. I think that you can develop your brain. I talk on the show all the time, you know, how to contact people that you've lost, you know, spiritually, vibrate on that level, right, to take you up to that level, to communicate. So when it comes to extraterrestrials, and as long as they're advanced like that, there's no reason that we wouldn't be able to send that those thoughts and use those brain waves and train ourselves to use those brain waves for communication. So, I don't know. You guys out there, you can do your research too. Look it up. I think it's an interesting subject. We'll talk about it more in the future. Next week on Discovery Paranormal, we have Robbie Thomas coming on. Amazing medium. The best I know. Best I know. Helps an unbelievable amount of people. Works for police agencies, you know, FBI, state police, all that stuff. They all call him in. He always solves the crime. He's amazing from one end to the other. He's going to be on the show next week to talk about his book coming out in the spring, talk about what he's doing currently, and also want to talk about dreams. I know a lot of people, including me, that's been having these very real, weird dreams lately. Very, very real. Very heavy. Real. Like, man, a lot of people have been reaching out to me specifically saying, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So Robbie's got a whole book about dream interpretation, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, but mainly about what he's doing, what's going on. Anyway, this is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. This is UPRN, United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans. I will see you guys next week on this year's show.
Your holiness, your sins.
I don't have any sins to confess.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. Let's make a night. You won't remember. I'll be the one. You won't forget.
Going down, I'm yelling timber. You better move. ask for money and get advice. Ask for advice, get money twice. I'm from the dirty, but that Chico nice. Y'all call it a moment, I call it life.
One day while the light is glowing, I'll be in my castle golden. But until the gates are open, I just wanna feel this moment. Whoa, I just wanna feel this moment. Whoa, I just wanna feel this moment.
Christina Aguilera. Oye, mamita, dale que la ropa está rica.
From the tallest building in Tokyo, long way from them hallways, filled with O's and O's, day counting always, real fat,